institution of Korazon Mishum Hekeru. But if Surah Pesach is Dina Kemechitza Min HaTorah, Alpi Pashtus, so why should you need Hekeru? So the answer is that the Rasa Machrayim who say Surah Pesach is only Midirabbanah. The Mishnah Berurah quoted the Prima Gadim who raised that possibility. We have an area that's Mukav Surah Pesach, like every bungalow column, every camp, just have Surah Pesach around it. So the Prima Gadim raises the possibility that maybe it's only a Rishus HaYochid Midirabbanah. Maybe Surah Pesach can only solve problems Midirabbanah. It doesn't work on the level of the Rasi. So maybe Tzuris HaPesach is Midin Heker. And Taka, some say Lamayla Meser Mama is no good. We don't pass like that. There are those who say Lamayla Meser Mama is no good. And if it's Tzuris HaYochid, there's lack of Heker. Then the other explanation that the Tikkun Erevin gave, Tikkun Erevin is the one page written by the Nesivis at the end of the Nesivis in Seif and Hilchas Pesach that's called Mekor Chaim. There's 1.5 pages about how to make an Erev. And every 3/4 of a line, he shoots off another din, another din, another din. It doesn't give you too much. Doesn't give you a marmikimus and it doesn't give too much of an explanation. The other reason that he gives, basic command mal yadam, is very strange. That's an opinion in Tanoim that was never accepted. And that opinion only applies, the Gemara says, if you have Rishus HaYochid Mekur, if it has a roof over it. Here the Tikkun Erevin is applying it even if you don't have a roof over it. So what does it mean by basic command mal yadam? So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he suggests that the Kona Toch Rishus HaYochid is no good. Maybe this is what the Tikkun Erevin meant. Maybe it's not what he meant. Maybe he meant something else. But this is a strong Svara that there's an Inyan of Silut Mechitza. There are Gemaras about that. Once you have this area is completely enclosed, then anything you're going to have inside cannot be mitzaref to anything outside. This is a separate area, and this area is Mesulat Mechitza. So many are of the opinion you have to worry about this. If you're concerned about, there are two tshuvas in Avnei Nezer, one after the other. Each tshuva has a date. In the earlier tshuva, he said, we're only worried about the heker, so if the Tzuris HaPesach protrudes 10 tvachim above the fence of the Rishus HaYochid, he thinks there's room to be made. In the second tshuva, he comes about to develop this whole idea that it's Silik Mechitza, and it wouldn't be good, even if it's Lamayla Me'asar HaTvachim. It's not just the concern of Hekera. He thinks that it's really a major problem. This problem of Kona Toch Rishus HaYochid is an issue. I think we discussed it. What if the building is constructed in such a way that you have, there's an indentation in the walls of the building, so you have two mechitzas like this, and then you have a gag on top, and the gag is flat in such a way that we would apply the principle of Pitikra Yerid V'Seisem. So there are Amon Shulchan Aruch, there are different opinions about Pitikra Yerid V'Seisem. If you have a tikra that's flat, so you consider the edge of the tikra as if it would be a mechitza. So the Rambam and the Rif are of the opinion it only applies on the Ruach Revi'is. If you have three walls like this, you're already permitted to carry Minat Torah. So for the tikkun on the Ruach Revi'is, you would apply Pitikya Abbasis, and that's as far as it goes. Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, tries to push that people should be machmer for that. Either Ramah doesn't say that, so he reinterprets the Ramah. He said, maybe the Ramah meant the maximum you can be make, as Tosfos said, but he really didn't recommend it. Poshup Shat and the Ramah is that he's just ignoring the Rambam sheet. The Ramah, and then you have Rashi sheet. The Rashi says you can say Pitikra even three times. You can't say Pitikra. If you have a Tikra, you can't say Pitikra all four times. Pitikra Yerba says. But if you have one wall, then you can say Pitikra Yerba says three times. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And the Ramah Paskins like Tosfos, the middle sheet. Not like Rashi, who's Mekel so much. Not like the Rambam and the Rif, who are Machma so much. There are more paskins like Tosfos that if you have L-shaped rishus walls, L-shaped rishus, then you can say pitikra on the missing third and fourth walls. But if you have two walls that are parallel to each other, and two walls that are missing, I'm a foolish, they can egg it there. So Tosfos in Erevin quotes a Gemara Sukkah, that whenever it's mefoolish, you can't say pitikra yarvisayim on the two missing walls. So the some of the later achrayim when the dike from earlier rishonim. Comes out that there was a misunderstanding, they read it wrong. The other Rishonim weren't discussing anything about this at all, so Dami Hacha what they said. The Nusavar, that if you have two walls that are like this, and you say Pitikya Yerbasosim to consider the third and the fourth walls, then you can't have a Kona under the God, because that's considered a Kona Toch Rishus HaYochid. So that's a question, when you say Pitikya Yerbasosim is not something logical. No one would have ever come up on this on their own. Must be, if you hold some such from such a din, it must be some kind of halacha l'moshe misina or something like that. So it could well be that Pitikya Yerbasosim was a halacha l'moshe misina that was only given, that was only formulated l'hokil. Maybe it was never said l'hachmer. So you want to say Pitikya Yerbasosim if you have the indentation in the walls of the building on the outside of the building, you're going to say pitikra lahachmir, not lahokel, to consider tachta binter rishus ayochid, to consider tachta rishus ayochid, to passel the kone, the erev pole that's under the pitikra, because it's tachta rishus ayochid. So that's what others taina. Maybe this halacha meshim sinah pitikra b'seis is only emer lahokel, not lahachmir. So that's questionable whether the kone tachta rishus ayochid. Even if you assume Karan Tavishu Sayyachid is not good, is that called that Karan Tavishu Sayyachid? Tachas Hagag, when you have the Pitika Yervises. Then there was a big dispute. Rav Kook and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was a dying for Rav Kook in Yerushalayim. But then if you have a Tel HaMislakeit, and you have the corner right in the middle of the Tel HaMislakeit, so Tel HaMislakeit has a status of Rishu Sayyachid on top of the tail. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank thought, no, if it has the status of Rishus HaYachid, so you have the Kone Terech Rishus HaYachid, so it's no good. Rav Kook thought, maybe it is good. Maybe the whole reason why Kone Terech Rishus HaYachid is no good is because of Heker, and here there is Heker because it's on top of the mount, different Svaris Lok. The Pashtus is like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said, if you say like the Avnei Nezer, that Kone Terech Rishus HaYachid is no good Ben HaTorah because... Silut mechitza, so it doesn't matter how you constructed your mechitza with walls or a tel hamislak, it should also pose the problem of a konatech rishus hayachid. So that's the one thing. Konatech rishus hayachid is a discussion. Then there's a shaila. What if, let's say, you have the city erev and the wire of the erev happens to go over someone's front lawn, and his front lawn has four walls around it. He has a fence on three sides, and he has the front of the building on the fourth side. So the front lawn is mamash rishus hayachid, or we were looking at the erev. So the erev goes over, let's say, a mailbox that's sitting on the ground, and the mailbox is a gigantic, big monstrosity that has dalar adalar tvachim. Usually, mailboxes are very tiny, and they're not sitting on the ground. So sometimes they have the mailbox. The walls of the mailbox are considered mechitzas because the inside has dalar adalar tvachim, and the walls are within three tvachim to the ground lavud. So that's considered a rishus hayachid. So the wire that goes above it is really going over Rishus HaYachid. So that was Machlekes. So those who hold you can't put the Konatech Rishus HaYachid because of Silut Mechitzis. You can't have the wire going over Rishus HaYachid either. So that would pose a problem. And the Chavatzelos HaShorayin is the Galatiana Sharis HaTshuvas. The author's name is Babad. The Minchas Chinuch's name was Babad. That was his great uncle, his grandfather's brother. And he writes that his father, the author of... he lived before the Second World War, and he writes that his father was always machmer on everything, but not on this, on the wire going over Rishus HaYachid. His father held it that was a joke. You don't have to worry about it. I don't remember why it came up. I remember explicitly, I was once walking with Rav Mendel Zaks, who was the son-in-law of Chafetz Chaim. He used to be the Boichen here in the yeshiva. I don't know why in the world we were talking about this. And he said, in Europe, the minhag was lahokel, that there used to be mekel if you have the wire going over Rishus HaYachid. I thought it should be a serious problem. I thought it should be a problem deraisa. You have silut mechitza, so it should apply both to the pole and to the wire on top. So that's what we discussed. So let's say the wire goes over an automobile that happens to be parked there, or a bus happens to be passing by, and the automobile often has mechitza. So the bus probably mechitza don't go within three tefachim to the ground. So true, the inside of the bus is a rishus hayach because the mechitzas touch the floor of the bus. But you can't declare that the ground is that it's a Rishus HaYachid from the perspective of the ground. Well, let's say you have a car that's parked in the street, and the walls of the car are Toch Gimel Tvachim to the ground, and you have Dalad Mechitz is going over the car. It's Yud Tvachim tall, Dalad Dalad inside. So you're going to say that the whole layer of it is no good because the car goes under the wire. Middle, while the car goes under the wire, it's no good. If someone parked his car there for Shabbos, so Mizdamah, you have to say, Al Pi Pashtus, who says that we're cutting into his Rishus HaYachid? He's cutting into our Rishus HaYachid. We were here first. And even if there was a car there at the time that we made the Erev, but the car was only there B'Kroy, and the Erev is there Kavua. So Mizdamah to say that the Erev is not cutting into Rishus HaYachid. The car is cutting into our Rishus HaYachid. But the Shad is, what if you have an Erev, and then they put a dumpster there? And we know they're going to leave the dumpster there for 4 months. That's pretty Kavua. So we had the problem over here. They put a dumpster on Audubon Avenue. So they rerouted, temporarily, they rerouted the area from the yeshiva that it shouldn't go over the dumpster.
What about if you have the comment that we discussed, it's actually inside Rishus HaYachid, under the eave of some building. And then said maybe you should drill a hole. even if you, when you're drilling a hole or not drilling a hole, is that hole considered to be
That's not under under the canopy, under a roof, is not always going to be Terechim Shu Sayachit. It'll only be Terechim Shu Sayachit if you have two walls like this, like L shape, then you can say Tikva for the third and the fourth. Let's say you don't have one wall and a roof protruding. Like in front of my building, we have the front of the wall and then you have a canopy on top. So that shouldn't pose a problem. Tachas HaGag. That's not a problem. But the problem is if the wire is above the Gag and the pole is below the Gag, is that called Al Gabeyim because the roof, the Gag is mapsik. So the Taz came up with the Chum, you got to drill a hole. And others disagreed. So L'chatchila, whenever possible, we'll try to avoid it. And if you can, so we revert back to the Ikir HaDin. So this is Kana Terechim Shu Sayachit. There's one discussion. Then people don't understand that there's a totally different topic that's called Achuri HaKoysel. People think this is Achuri HaKoysel. Hey, the Kana is behind this Koysel. So Achuri HaKoysel means a different thing. I have, let's say, an Erev like this, or a walls, whatever, and then I need a Tikkun on the Ruach of this. I put a Kana Mikan and a Kana Mikan and a Kana Al Gabehim over here. So that's called Achuri HaKoysel. The neither pole is Terechim Shu Sayachit, but neither pole is contiguous to the area that's being enclosed. Here, this is the area that's being enclosed. And the two corners are not contiguous to the area being enclosed. So the Chazanish holds that that's not acceptable. And they have in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu, after the Stipler passed away, so there was a Rabbi Horowitz, who was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who wrote quite a few svarim. He wrote so many notes about all the hanhagas of the Stipler. So every so often he'll have a psak from the Chazanish there, a hanhaga from the Chazanish. He has this picture. You have four tzuris haPesach. They go like this, and you want to consider the area in the middle as a Rishus HaYoch, and the Chazanish says that it's meaningless, that the area that's enclosed is the middle, and none of the eight kodim are contiguous to the area. What's wrong? Sandu din, the Achuri HaKoysel is no good. So the Chazanish says, he thinks that it's not kidab di inshi. That's not the way normal people make a frame of a door. Usually the frame of a door is touching the area, and usually it eats up part of the space. The opening over here used to be wider, and then the frame of the door takes up 2 inches. Maybe from the right side to the left side, the frame takes up 2 inches. It's memayit b'chalal ha-pes. It doesn't necessarily have to be memayit b'chalal ha-pes. That's where the Chazanish writes. First one I have like this. Let's see, have very thick walls. And you want to close this area. And you put a tzuris ha-pesach, v'chana mikan, v'chana mikan, v'chana al-gabem. So that's b'feirish in the Gemara that that's acceptable. It happens that it's not the mait b'chalal ha-pesach. Over here, the kane is in front of the wall. So that's a b'feirish in the Gemara, that's good. But Shan is, what if it's not even in front, it's over here? So the Chazanish thinks that that's not acceptable. The Stipler was a brother-in-law of the Chazanish. He was not aware of the fact that his brother-in-law had written that this is not acceptable. So he writes a whole essay in the Sefer on Erevin, and he says it's the Bir Hagran Yerushalmi Erevin says that it's no good. Then he has a Rabbeinu Yohanesen on the Rif said that it's no good. Then he says this one says it's no good. Then the other one says it's no good. One of the Achrayim says it's no good. Then he said the last paragraph, and then I found that my brother-in-law the Chazanish wrote in his Sefer also that it's no good. If he would have known, he wouldn't have to write the whole essay about it. He wasn't aware that the Chazanish had already written about it. So he dug up all the sources and he writes that he thinks that it's taka no good.
In the tic-tac-toe board, right, the top one there, are the sorts of azach crossing over each other?
Crossing over, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not that you have a kind of at the corner that they're
far away, yeah. For each corner is far away from the area in the middle. that's another shaila. What's the din if you have tzuris ha-pesach that are crossing over each other? For example, let's do a silly case. For some reason or another, what do I want? Yeah, kodimikan, this is a wall. The bottom one is a wall. And these two are tzuris ha-pesach. The point of the Chazanish, it's no good because it's achuri ha-kaisel. It's not achuri ha-kaisel, but it's not contiguous. This is the area that I want to be enclosed. And even those who say achuri ha-kaisel is acceptable,
even if you hold Achariyat Kaisel, is acceptable. Can you have a Mechitza? It's not good.
I need a different different diagram. Can you have a Mechitza that crosses over itself? Is that acceptable? The whole idea of a Mechitza is considered as if it's a wall. So does that make sense?
If you have, I already forgot what diagram I'm trying to think of.
Can you have a Mechitza that crosses over itself? The Pashto says that it's always going to be Achariyat Kaisel. Okay.
So this, most of the Poskim hold that this is not acceptable, this is not acceptable, and some say that it is good.
The Tshuva Sefer at home, I think the name of the Tshuva Sefer is Shem Olam. The author lived in Hornestipel. I think he was a Talmud of the Ktzais HaChayshin, if I'm not mistaken. He writes that such a thing is good, even though it's Achariyat Kaisel, and even though it's crossing over itself. He says that it's good. Al Pashtos, it should not be acceptable. This was a big issue when in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, he writes a tshuva when he came to Pressburg. That was not his first rabbinical position. When he came to Pressburg, so part of his responsibility was to supervise the Erev. So they had an Erev from the previous rabbi. So when he checked around, the first Shabbos checked around the Erev, so the Erev was Achuri HaKoisel. It was probably something like this. So one of the poles was not contiguous with the area being enclosed. So his instinctive reaction was that it's not acceptable. So he said, who approved this? So they told him the previous rabbi approved. The previous rabbi is a very prominent Talmud Chacham. So he said, Kedai hu lismacholav afilu shaloi b'shas hadchav. That's what he writes in the Tshuva. He told Balabatim, Kedai lismacholav afilu shaloi b'shas hadchav. Yours truly, Moshe Sefer. So in the Tshuva, it sounds like originally he thought that it's no good. Then he changed his mind and said that it is good. Then we have all the Tshuvas have dates. Then in another Tshuva, he has a later Tshuva, he says, Vaita, that it's no good. So he changed his mind twice. First he thought it's no good, then he thought that it is good, then he thought that it's no good. That's very strange. There is a Gemara in Gittin, a few places. The Gemara says that Eranam Oymen al Dvar Alocha Elam Kein Nichsho Batrila. If a person made a mistake in Psak, he's going to look up the din to try to defend what he said. And after looking it up, then he finally gets it straight. And so now he really knows what the din is. So the Rashboa in Gittin, Anad Gemara, quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, this is a sign of intellectual honesty if he admits that he made a mistake. What if he admits he made a mistake a second time and he goes back to the original psak? So that's irresponsibility. That's not intellectual honesty. It keeps on flipping back and forth. The first time you heard that there's an issue, so you should have been mavar, you should have sat down for a couple of days and nights and figured out what the din is, not keep on going back and forth. So this is a pel on the Chasam Sofer. First he thought instinctive reaction is no good, then they tell him the previous rabbi, Mishul Migra, said that it's good. So he said, Kedai l'smuchal afilu shloi b'shas hadchak. Mishul Migra was a famous goyim. So he was the rabbi in Pressburg immediately before the Chasam Sofer. They tell the story that Mishul Migra on his deathbed said, He hopes that Rav Meir is right. He hopes that Rav Meir is right. Kept on mutting, hopes Rav Meir is right, and then he died. So when the Balabatim were interviewing candidates for the Rabbonis in Pressburg, so they spoke to them in learning, politics, whatever, and then they asked them, what do you think the previous rabbi meant, that he hopes Rav Meir is right? So everybody gave some other reason. That he, when the Chasam Sofer was the candidate, so he says, simple, Rav Meir is chai shlemiyuta. And then Gemara says, Rav goes to Sim Lemisa, Amiyut goes to Sim Lechai. So he says, he hopes Rav Meir is right. Lechashim Lemiyut, he hopes that he survives. So the Balabatim thought that was the right shot, so that's why they hired him. So everyone recognized him. Shul Migro is a big Tamachom. So that's the Chasam Sofer. So he says, Kedai Lis Mecholov, Afilu Shleb Shasatai. So that's what he asked. How come he said the Chazanish? He asked the Kasha. He doesn't know. He says that it's strange. Why did he back out twice? I thought, Al Pi Pashtus, that what happened perhaps was the following. I wasn't there. Perhaps what happened was the following. The Chasam Sofer held that it's no good from the beginning to the end. But he just came into the position, so he doesn't have to make all the Balabatim crazy. So if it would be something in Hilchas Kashrus or Hilchas Nida, so he has to pass on what the din is. But when it comes to Erevin, so the Gemara says, Halacha Gdira Mekel Be'erev. Whenever there's a Machloikas, so you have a right to rely on the Shit Sayachit. So the Chasam Sofer held his sheet, so he probably never carried it in the air. Then he told his wife and his children they're not allowed to carry it in the air. But as far as the Balabatim are concerned, that was a loshim. Kidayu Rav Mishulam Migra lis mecholam afilu shloib shasatak. So machlekes me and him, so he can rely on Rav Mishulam Migra. But that was only good the first couple of months of the first year or so when he took over the Rabbanus. But after a while, they already, Rav Shulam Iger was gone and forgotten from the scene. And now it's known as the Chasam Seifer's Rabbanus and the Chasam Seifer's Erev. So once it was known as his Erev, he did correct it. That's Yadua. He used to have a professor, Neuschloss, who taught here in Yeshiva. He passed away many years ago. So he said he used to live in Pressburg before the war. He wasn't there when the Chasam Seifer made the Erev. That was 150 years ago. But he, as a child, remembers that they used to say, they used to point to a certain part of the Erev, and he said, this is where the Chasam Seifer changed the Erev. He didn't know what it was all about. He just remembered as a child that they said, Rav Shulam Iger said it was good, Chasam Seifer changed it. So he did change it. So what did he say originally? Kedai L'smachol said, you can rely on him. I'm not going to rely. I hold that it's no good. The Balabatan can rely because the Halachim Tebra Mekel Be'erim. Whenever there's a Machloites, they have a right to follow that Shita. But after many months, and it's known as his Erev, and it's his Rabbi, and his Balabatim, they're not no longer asking Shabbos to anybody else. They're asking him all the Shabbos. So they're not the Mechuyif to follow his opinion. Let's say someone comes to me with a Shal and Hilchas Erev. So I'll say, well, there's a Machlokes, and you can rely on the other opinion. If you're asking me what the din is, I have to tell you my opinion. If you want me to supervise, yeah, I have to conform to my opinion. So the Shabbos, the Chasam Sefer was there. He doesn't have to conform to his opinion. He goes into head. You want to follow someone else, is good. But after he's there for a while, and the Balabatim are kofuf to all of his psokim, and it's known as his Erev, then I had to change it, and I had to live up to his opinion. I think we just left out one more topic from that section about Klali Tzuras HaPesach. The Gemara in the first Mishnah in Erevin speaks about a Mavoi. There's a Chotzer and a Mavoi, different dinim. A Mavoi is an area that's enclosed that has two Chatzeres opening into it, and each Chotzer has two batim. Minimum of two batim opening into it. So the chotz and the mavi, each one has kulas and chumris with the rabbanim. On the level of the rise, it's all the same. Rishu sayachid is a rishu sayachid. For hilchas ayaris, it may make a difference. For the definition of a nir is you have to have a minimum of batei arei hachatzirim. The chumish describes a nir, batei arei hachatzirim. So the Mishnah says both an erichin and an erevin, that the definition of a city with respect to dinam derais and respect to dinam derabanan is you have to have a minimum of two chatzeres, and each chas has to have a minimum of two batim. Let's say you have a city where everyone lives in a private home, and there's no chatzer, there's no area that's enclosed with a mechitza that has, with a fence that has two batim in it. Everybody lives in his own private home, and there's no chatzer. So al pidin, there's no ear. Al pidin, there's no ear. And if you want to figure out chum Shabbos, so the din is wherever you live, you have to measure alpai mam in every direction. If you have an ear, then the ear alpi din is you have batim all over the place in a circular, let's say in a circular shape. So the Mishnah says you visualize this amoeba shape of the city as if it would be rectangular shape. The halacha says you always consider a city as if it's rectangular shape. In which direction? So Manhattan is approximately rectangular shape as it stands. So you just fill in that rectangle. And if the city is a amoeba shape, it's not approximately a rectangle, so then you make it a rectangle northeast, southwest. So the top bar and the bottom bar, north and south, are going to be flat like this, and east and west are going to be flat like this, and that's considered the city. And everybody who lives in the city has alpai mama. You have 70 amma, shiva mama outside of the city, iburu shalir, and then you have alpai mama outside of that. But if the city doesn't have the status of a city, so each person has alpai mama from his home, this din that you draw a rectangle, that's only if it's a city. If a private person lives in the mountains all by himself, so he draw a circle, and he has alpai mama l'chol ruach. So the shayla is, the marsham works on this kasha. The Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, that bizman hazeh, there's no din chotzer. And therefore there's no chotzer, so there's no mavoi, because the definition of a mavoi is, an enclosed area that has two chotzeres. So because bizman hazeh, there's no chotzer, so there's no mavoi. Why is there no chotzer? So the Ramah quotes from the Trumas Adeshin, from the earlier Achranim, because a chotzer means like a backyard that you use it for private purposes. So he says that his mizman hazeh, in the days of the Ramah, they never used the city, the streets in the city, they never used for private purposes. So the city didn't have a din of a chotzer. So that's a shaila. If it's true that there's no din of a chotzer bizman hazeh, so there's no din of an ear, because the definition of an ear is two chatzeres. You can't have a chotzer in New York and a chotzer in California. You're going to say that the whole United States is one big ear. The chatzeres have to be either contiguous, the walls have to be touching, and sure, they have to be within shivim amah v'shiraim to each other. within 71 amas to each other. So the Gemara in the first parak of Erevin has differences. So that's chotzer plays a role on the level of the raisa to define an ear. That's a pasuk in the end of Vayikra, in the end of Chumash Vayikra, but they are achat seirim, the definition of an ear, both in Erechin with respect to dinam deraisa, and with respect to Retzeach has to go to Yer Miklot, and that's a din deraisa, I'm going to get to dinam derabbanim, I'm going to get to Ere Beit Chumen, and I'm going to get to other dinam. So the definition of an ear is two chatziris are near each other, plus you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin, I'm going to get to Yerani Dachas. What's the minimum population that you have to have? And if it's all motels, and the people just stay overnight, they only stay for a few days, that's not called a population. You have to have a population who lives there bikvias, and that's a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah. How long is it bikvias? Bikvias means 30 days or a year, or 6 months. Mishnah Berurah says 6 months. Where does 6 months come in? Halacha has the some dinim and Bava Basra and the Sanhedrin, some dinim depend on 30 days, some dinim depend on 12 months. Mishnah Berurah quotes that the some Rishonim say that over here, the 100 population, the 100 people have to live there kavua 6 months. I said for 6 months, because that was the normal rental that they used to have. I don't know, but yes, we rent for a year, no? We rent a lease for a year. Apparently they used to rent a lease for a half a year, for a season, for 6 months. So that's a question defining a city. So there are dinim deraisa where it is relevant to determine is it a chotzer or not, the definition of an ear. But then, the first parak in Erevin is all dealing with dinim derabbanan, differences between a chotzer and a mor. So you have chumris in kulis. Each one has chumris in kulis. So when we were looking around, we mentioned, when we had the tour, so we mentioned that there's simple reading of the Gemara. It's questionable whether this is what it says. Simple reading of the Gemara, the Magen Avraham reads it, that in a mavui there's a chumre, that if you have a pirza, a gap in the mechitza of four tvachim or more, that already ruins the whole rishus hayochid. In a chotza there is no such thing. So that's a chumre that only applies to a mavui. The Ibn Ozer claims that there is no such Gemara. The Gemara meant to say something else, and the Magen Avraham misunderstood the Gemara. But that's the pashtus in the Gemara. Then you have a kule, that's a chumre in a mavui. Then you have a kule in a mavui, that if you have three mechitzas and you need a tikkun on the ruach revius with the rabbanim and a torah, if you have three mechitzas, you're allowed to carry. With the rabbanim, you need a tikkun on the ruach revius. So if you put just a lechi, so that's sufficient. You're already permitted to carry. A lechi only works if it's a mavui. If it's a chotzer, you don't have the kula, you have to have two lechis. If you have one lechi on one side, one lechi on the other side, that's okay. And the lechi only works in a mavui or in a chotzer. You have shnei luchayim, a lechi on the right, lechi on the left is good, only if the gap in between them is less than eser amos. But if eser amos or less. But if yesem eser, if the opening on the ruach revius is yesem eser, then the lechis don't help. The korah doesn't help, and the lechi doesn't help, then you have to have it tzuris ha-pesach. The Ramah says that our minig is that we always put tzuris ha-pesach. We never rely on two lechis. Even on Bikur then a lot of times two lechis would be good. Says the minig is that you always insist on having the two lechis with the korah on top. That's a tzuris ha-pesach. So the Gemara there in the first prayer, so that's what we were talking about. The Magen Avraham claims that the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that Ayara Shalanu do not have the din of Mavui. Do not have the din of Mavi, so therefore you cannot, when you make an error around the city, doesn't have the din of Mavi, so you cannot rely on Lechi. So the Magen Avraham says what the Ramah meant to say was, doesn't have a din of Mavi lahokel, but it still has a din of Mavi lahachmir, and therefore you have to be concerned about a pirza of Dalat Tvachim Amor. So that's what I mentioned in the story, that Rabbi Shlomo Kluger came to his community in Broad, and he was supervising the Erev, so they had a gap of more than four Tvachim. Shlomo Kluger had a Galatiana style of psak, so they always used to make a Mimonavshach. They said Mimonavshach. If you machma like the Magen Avraham, that if you have to treat it, maybe it is a mavui, and a mavui pirtz of dal tvachim ruins the whole status of Rishus HaYachid. That in mavui, if you put one lechi, it solves the problem. So you put one lechi. I bet maybe it's dina kuchatz and one lechi is no good. So he said, no, if it's dina kuchatz, he said, there's no halacha pirtz yesemi dal tvachim. And there wasn't a pirtzi yesem yesa, that didn't exist. So he said, Mimonavshach. If it's dinu kemavui, so lechi is good to be matur. If it's dinu kechotzer, so the whole problem doesn't exist at all. So he writes in his tshuvas, he had lomdim among the balabatim. They didn't like that, the Mimonavshach. They didn't like that. So he writes in his tshuva, he sent a letter to the Chassam Sefer, and he agreed with him. But the Chassam Sefer was a young man, not yet the world famous at that time, so the lomdim in his city was still not satisfied. So he said he sent a letter to the Yeshua's Yankiv. Now the Yeshua's Yankiv is an unknown figure, never. But at that time he was more famous than the Chasam Sofer during his lifetime. So he sent a letter to the Yeshua's Yankiv. Oh, and he was masking with him. So then the Lomdim let him get away with it, with his Mimon Hashem. So that's what we wanted to do here. Someone showed me on the map of the Wayu Arabs, so there are around 10 or 15 spots where there's an arrow. So the arrow means that there's a Pirtz of Dalat Tvachim over there. So if we would be able to put a Lechi in each one of those Pirtzes of Dalat Tvachim, we would satisfy Rav Shlomo Kluger's requirements. L'chatchila we are choshes, that's a Chazon Ish, right? So l'chatchila we should be choshes for the Magen Avraham. But b'shas hatchake, if you can't satisfy that opinion, so Mikra then we pass on against the Magen Avraham. That the Pirtz of Dalat Tvachim does not pose a problem. Mishkan is Yankit Paskin like the Magen Avraham. He says that the Pirtz of Dalat Tvachim passes the whole area. The Chadanish says not so. He says Mikra didn't. Eben Hoizer is right. Eben Hoizer disagreed with the Magen Avraham. But L'chadchili should try to satisfy the Magen Avraham. So we wanted to put up Lechis on all the spots. That's Rav Shlomo Kluger's Lechi. On all the spots where there's the Pirtz of Yesod Dalat Tvachim. To have this heter based on the Miman of Shach. But the Shkotzim in the neighborhood kept on ripping down one of the lechis. So if you're going to put up, 14 out of 15 lechis, and one is going to be missing, so you haven't accomplished anything. So we didn't waste our time to putting the other 14. You don't gain anything. When it'll be Sholem Al Yisrael, and I'll stop ripping down the lechis, so then we want to fill in all the 15 missing lechis, and there won't be any arrows on the Erev map anymore, and everything will be satisfactory. So when you talk about a lechi. So the Gemara says in the first parak, in Erev, the lechi has to be 10 tefachim tall. How thick does it have to be? So it says in the Gemara, kol shehu. The Gemara says, v'kama kol shehu. Funny question, kama kol shehu. So the Gemara says, kechuta desarbalo. They used to have trousers. Instead of having a belt on top, and belt is a little, more than an inch thick, so it says the string that they have on top of the sarbol. Sarbol is trousers. Some people still have on pajamas, they have a string on top. So the thickness of the sarbol. So what's the shear? So the Gemara says, kol shehu is kechuta desarbalo. What is it? So all the poskim is kol shehu, is a kol shehu, even insignificant, like kechuta desarbalo, but there's no shear. So the Mordechai there quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg and Uchomer. No, the kechuta desarbalo requires a shear. How much is the shear? Etzba. Etzba is, according to some, an inch. According to some, a little less than an inch. Etzba, we usually assume, means the thickness, the width of the thumb going over here by the wide part. That's an ovi etzba. So that's an inch or slightly less than an inch. So the Gemara there happens to be talking about a lechi to be matir mavui, or if you have two lechis to be matir achatzir. When you make a tzuras ha-pesach, there is no halacha of lechi. But in Yiddish, when you talk about making a tzuras ha-pesach, everybody calls that's a lechi and that's a lechi, and that's the kor on top. That's not the loshon ha-Gemara. This is called kana mikama kana gabem. This is not called the lechi, it's not called the torah. But in Yiddish, you call it like that. And the Rishonim called it like that. And the Shvarzer from Broadway Maintenance calls it like that. He considers himself the world's greatest expert on Erevin. He makes all the Erevin, he fixes all the Erevin. So they always call it a lechi. So the question is, the fact that everybody calls it a lechi, does that play a role? Does it have the din of a lechi? So some of the Rishonim and Achronim say, yeah. Whatever dinam applied to lechi, apply here. That's where the Bechor Shor got his einfall from. If you have a mavui with three walls, and you want to be matir tiltal and mavui by putting a lechi, so the lechi has to be within three tochim, within lower to the wall. So the Bechor Shor said, the kana mikana of the Tzuras HaPesach, both of them have to be within three tochim to the wall, because it's like a lechi, has a din like a lechi. Another say, Bezak, who says that the kana mikana doesn't have anything to do with a lechi? No similarity living or dead. But based on that premise, based on that assumption, that maybe the kana mikana of the Tzuras HaPesach has a status like a lechi, and the Maharam Rutenberg had a chumrah that the lechi has to have a minimum thickness, says v'kama kol shehu, so the Gemara says kechuta desarbalo, and he understands that means an etzba. So then there's a chumrah when you make an erev, so each pole should have a minimum thickness of an etzba, should be at least an inch wide. So that's a chumrah. Okay, enough. We spent a lot of time on the klolim of Tzuras HaPesach. Okay. You have to say a little bit about Erev Chatzeres. Fine, you've already made your Erev around the whole area. So the whole thing on Min HaTorah is one big happy Rishu Sayoch. Happy, unhappy. Some people will be happy, some people will be unhappy, but it's one big Rishu Sayoch. But you have different people live in this apartment, different people live in this apartment. So that doesn't pose a problem. So Min HaTorah does not pose a problem. The Gemara says the beginning of the second parak in Erevin, that's the Takana Shlaim HaMelech. Shlaim HaMelech made the Tikkun of Erevin, that if you have different families living in different homes, and then you have they use together a courtyard that has a mukaf mechitza around it, so although in Atari you're allowed to carry, and everything is one big Rishu Sayachin, but the Rabbanon, if there's a different family living here, a different family living there, so they ask them on each other, and either this family has to leave a chala, a lechem, Erev Chatzeis has to be passed, Erev Chumen, and Shetufim of Vuas can be other macholim. But Erev Chatzeis is a machlek is satanaim in the Mishnah. We pass and so on, Eim Arvanella be pass, has to be dafke bread. Has to be pashim mevorchem olav hamoitzi. That's when some achranim raise the issue. We usually put away a box of matzahs and the svardim say mezonos on the matzahs. They don't say hamoitzi. So how is the erev good for the svard? So, So on Pesach the svardim also say hamoitzi. Why is that? Because they eat it. They're kaveh suda on it. So the Gemara said beferish. That's the klal. Whenever you have some cake, that all year long you say mezainis, but if you would have been kaver suda, it would have been amoitzi. So the Gemara says in brachas, and that's sugi mezainis and amoitzi, that is good for erev chatzeres. That's also called pas. That's called pashem mevorchem olav amoitzi. And again, the other dinim also, even though now no one is kaver suda on it, but it's called pas. Pas habobikis is a subcategory of pas, but it's basically called pas. So the Gemara says that when Shlomo HaMelech made this takana, the Bezon Shalmaila was masking with him, and then Baskol came out and said, Chocham b'ni, al-kein yismach li b'gamoni. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. That the Bezon Shamayla was happy that he made such a takon. So the Mishkan Brura and the Bir Aloch, as well as the Abnenez and the Chubas, they both point out that there seems to be a fundamental machlekes Rashi and the Rambam how to understand what the nature of this takon is. Is it that the Chatzar is one Rishu Sayachid, my home is another Rishu Sayachid, and the home where you live in is another Rishu Sayachid, three different Rishu Sayachid? So Minatari, you're permitted to carry from one Rishu Sayachid to another Rishu Sayachid to another Rishu Sayachid. But with the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to carry from my Rishu Sayachid to your Rishu Sayachid. That was what Shlomo HaMelech made a takona. Or should I say no? Maybe the nature of the takona was that since one family lives here, one family lives there, and both families use the chotzer that's used by both, so we declare the chotzer like as if it were a Rishu Sarabim. It's mamash a Rishu Sayachid Minatari because it has walls around it. But Midi Rabbana we declare as if it's a Rishu Sarabim because it's used by the two families. What's the difference when you say like this or you say like that? The difference should have been, let's say there's a piece of furniture, let's say you have an apartment building and no one made an Erev Chatzeres in the building. So not allowed to carry from my apartment into the halls or from the halls into my apartment. What about to carry this on furniture in the halls? Are you allowed to carry the furniture of Dalar Amos? So within my apartment, I'm allowed to carry from one room to the other. Within your apartment, you're allowed to carry. So do you treat the hallway where there's no Erev Chatzeres? You treat the hallway as if it's a Rishus HaRabim. So you're not allowed to carry Dalar Amos. But if you treat it like a different Rishus HaYachid, so then you are allowed to carry Dalar Amos in the hallway. So one might have thought maybe that's a difference. So the Gemara says that that's not correct. The Gemara says, Kelim Sheshavse B'chatzer, Mutil Talta B'chatzer. Whatever furniture was in the Chatzer, Shaloi Irvu. Whatever chotzer, whatever kelim, furniture was in the chotzer, was in the hallway of the building, at the beginning of Shabbos, you're allowed to move it around the building. So what about the shita who holds that the Rambam holds that I treat the chotzer as if it's a Rishu Sarabim? So the answer is no, the Rambam only holds like this, if he brought in kelim michutz lechotzer, into the chotzer. Then I look at the whole picture and I say, aha, the chotzer, in contrast to the batim, is a Rishu Sarabim. But Ken Shushovsa Bichotzer, if this furniture was in the Chotzer at the beginning of Shabbos, so I don't have to take into consideration the entire picture. That have a Chotzer and have Batim, and private families live here, and they both use the Chotzer together. If I have Ken Shushovsa Bichotzer, I look at the Chotzer alone and I say it was always a Mishusa Yochid, and you're allowed to carry the Alarm. So what's the Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam? So the Machlekes is like this. Let's say a guy lives in his apartment, and then he puts on a sweater. And he wears the sweater from his apartment into the hallway. But he wants to walk up to the 10th floor. And he's going to wear the sweater. He's going to get all perspired. So he takes, after he walks into the hallway, he was wearing the sweater. He walks into the hallway, takes off his jacket, takes off the sweater. He wants to carry it upstairs. So the Gemara only says, Kelim Shavshavsa Bechatzer. If the Kelim were in the Chatzer from the beginning of Shabbos, then the Rambam holds you ignore the whole picture. He says, it's a Rishus Sayachin and don't bother me. But if the Kelim came in Bachutz, if the Begadim came in Bachutz, someone comes. Someone walks to my apartment building, and there's no Erev in the building. So he walks to my apartment building, and then he has to walk up to the 10th floor. and he's going to get all perspired. So once he's in the building, so he takes off his hat and his coat and his jacket and his sweater, and then he's going to carry everything up. Then before he walks into someone's apartment, he's going to put everything on again. But the kelim came bachutz, it wasn't shavse bechutz. So that is a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. What's the din? Are you allowed to carry it or not? So Rashi sounds like he says you are allowed to carry it. Rashi and Erevin, Rabbi Kivega and the Dilyan Asha says, what's going on? It's all the kelim sheshavse bechutz. You're not allowed to carry this. So that's what all of the Tosfos Yontov has this, and the Mishnah Brura, and the Avnei Nezer, they all write the same answer. That Rashi holds, a fundamental machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, what's the nature of the Chumra Midrabanan? Of Erev Chatzeres, is it that it's a different Rishus HaYochid, but it's still a Rishus HaYochid? You're allowed to carry anything in the Chatzer, no matter whether it came Mibachutz, whether it's there from the beginning of Shabbos, Lamalu Lamorid. But he say no, only Kelim Sheshavse B'Chatzer Mutal Talta B'Chatzer. But if the Kelim came Mibachutz, then I treat the Chatzer as if it were a Rishus HaRabi. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah recommends you should be Machmer on this, not to rely on Rashi. He just quotes a Sefer Teferis Yerushalayim, who has a Einfal. Let's say the guy was sitting in shul on Friday night when Shabbos ends. He davens Minchan shul, he davens Ma'ariv in shul. He's sitting in shul and he had the jacket on, and then he comes to the building and has to climb up to the 10th floor, and he knows he's going to get all perspired. So he says, he quotes the Teferis Yerushalayim. So that should be a Machlekes Rashi in the Rama. I like to carry. So that this Sefer, I don't know who it is, Teferis Yerushalayim, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. So he says, since in shul he was wearing the jacket, it's not like the coat that he wasn't wearing. He was wearing the jacket, so the jacket was not a heftza of hotzor. The jacket was bottle lag of the body. All the clothing that you're wearing, you're allowed to wear in the street, it's not hotzor because it's bottle lag of the body. So he says, since the jacket didn't become a heftza of hotzor till he took it off in the hallway, so that has a status like kelim sheshavse b'chotzer. So you don't have to take into consideration the whole picture and say that the chotzer has a status of rishus harabim. Even the Rambam would agree in such a case that you're allowed to take off the jacket and carry it in the chutz. Okay, so that's about that shaila. So after you have this erev around the whole city, you've solved your problem. Now everything is one big rishus hayochid. But with the Rabbanim, you have the issue of takana shleima melech. So you have to get every Shem Shabbos has to give a matzah. You're going to have 5,000 matzahs. Every Shem Shabbos gives a matzah that's a gefelach. So the din in the Gemara is you don't have to have every single Shem Shabbos. One person can buy all the matzahs and give it to someone else to pick up to be kind of shutvis for all of the other Shem Shabbos. If you don't know, some new people may move into the neighborhood and usually make an error before Pesach the Gematzah, you leave it till next Pesach. You can't leave it too long because the matzahs may get spoiled. If it's not Royal Achilas Adam, then it's no good. So usually you renew the error every year before Pesach. Minig always used to be, the Ravon quotes this, the Ravon was a contemporary of the Rabbi Natam, the Rajman used to correspond with him. Ravon lived in Germany, Rabbi Natam lived in France. Rabbi Natam and the Rajman were brothers, they both lived in France. So the Ravon writes that the Minig, he lived in Magenzi, he says the Minig always was that he used to burn the Erev, he used to burn the box of matzahs every year before Pesach. So he writes, he wonders why. Why did they burn the box of matzahs? It's kosher the Pesach, why didn't they eat it? He does not why he's guessing, so he says maybe because the Erev Chatzeres is only good if any one of the Shomer Shabbos have the right to eat all the matzahs on Shabbos. If each person is makbid, I don't want anybody to eat the matzah that I put in, then the whole Erev Chatzeres is no good. The whole idea of the Erev means to blend everybody in together, that is considered one big happy family. So since the din is that the Erev is only good if no one is makbid, so we're afraid maybe somebody with sticky chametz dicker fingers in the middle of eating some chametz, maybe someone came to the matzahs and took out some of the matzahs to eat them. So that's why the minhag developed that they burn the matzahs before Pesach, even though they were kosher the Pesach dicker matzahs last year, shmura matzah, whatever, expensive stuff. So the minhag always was that they burned. Okay, not everybody has that minhag. You can eat it also. You can renew the erev of 2 weeks before Pesach and eat the matzahs. If you don't worry about eating Pesach Dikah Matzahs until Erev Pesach. So you have to either get every Shomer Shabbos in the area has to give a matzah, or you get someone to buy a box of matzahs and it's on b'shutfis and you give it over to someone else, pick up a tefach. The Gemara says, even if you think that usually Hagbah needs Gimel Tvachim, Rashi Shita is Hagbah always needs Gimel Tvachim. So here Tosfos says Rashi would also agree that Hagbah Tefach would be sufficient because the whole topic of Erev Chatzeres is only the Rabbanu Takana Shleim HaMelech. What are you going to do? How many matzahs do you have to have? Let's say you have 5,000 people. So how much matzah do you have to have? You have to have a kazayis for everybody. What's the shear? So the Mishnah is the shear is each one has to give a grogeres. Grogeres is I think the third of a beitza, if I'm not mistaken, shlish beitza, up until 18 people. Once you have more than 18 families, then it's sufficient with 18 grogeres for everybody. 18 grogeres is 6 kizaisim. So 6 kizaisim probably is one box of matzah, probably 6 kizaisim. If you want to be a machmer, 2 boxes of matzah is for sure more than enough, more than 6 kizaisim of matzah. So someone should buy 1 or 2 boxes of matzah, give it to someone else, pick up the tefach, and he says, I have a mind to be koyin of a hagbor tefach, well, the Shem Shabbos will leave here, whoever's going to move in until next Erev Pesach, fine. How do you cut? But the Erev HaChatzer is the box of matzah only helps for the Shem Shabbos. What do you do for the Mechalei Shabbos? What do you do for the non-Jews? So for the non-Jews, the Gemara says, you're supposed to go to every non-Jew and go tell him, I want to rent your apartment. Either I say, I want to rent your apartment, and you'll be considered as if you're a guest by me. That's strictly speaking what you're supposed to do. Or in Shulchan Aruch, they say you can do it differently. You can rent the Drisus HaRegel that the Nochem have in the street. You don't have to necessarily rent his apartment, you can rent his Drisus HaRegel. The difference will be, after you make the Erev, are you allowed to carry even into the apartment of the non-Jew? Or no, you're only allowed to carry, he only rented to you the Drisus HaRegel that he has in the street, so you can only carry in the streets and into the apartments of the Shomer Shabbos, but you can't carry into the apartment of the non-Jew. So preferable would be to rent the apartment of the non-Jew. Who's going to go knock on the doors of all the 1,000 non-Jews who live in the neighborhood? It's impossibility. So the Gemara has a kula, and in Shulchan Aruch they developed the kula further. The Gemara has a kula, what if the non-Jew, let's say it's a chutz and there's only one non-Jew, and there was a non-Jew who was an anti-Semite, and they called him Haman as a nickname. So Haman Baristik. And he didn't want to rent to the Jews, he wanted to give him aggravation. So they got around it, so they rented from his wife. His wife wasn't such a witch, but the apartment was in his name. It belonged to the husband, didn't belong to the wife. What right does the wife have to rent the apartment? So the Gemara says, nonetheless, since the wife lives in the apartment, we're mekel. And the Gemara even says, even schira lakito, even if he has a sleeping maid or a sleeping butler, the sleeping butler for sure is not the balabas. But the sleeping maid, the butler, has a right to walk around all the rooms in the apartment. So you can even rent from the sleeping maid and butler, even while the balabas is screaming bloody murder. He screams, I don't want you to rent the apartment, so you can ignore what he's screaming, and the schira lakito can rent it. So on the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rivash, from the late Rishonim, that we rely on Schira Lakita, we consider the Moshel Ha'ir, the governor of the whole region, we consider the governor or the king, if you have a king over a whole region, so we consider the Moshel Ha'ir as if he's Schira Lakita. Why? So the official reason that they give is because the Moshel Ha'ir, the king, has a right to station soldiers in anyone's home whenever he wants. He has a right to declare war, and when he declares war, he has a right to station soldiers in your home against your wishes. So that was fine until democracy came on the scene. So the Chacham Tzvi lived in Vilna, same time as the Shach, until Chmelnytsky pogroms and they were killing everybody. So everybody ran away. The Shach ran away, didn't go back to Vilna, the Chacham Tzvi ran all the way away to, where was he?
Amsterdam,
right. He ran away to Amsterdam. He was an Ashkenazi, he wasn't a Sephardi, but he became the Rav there in Amsterdam. So he came upon this new thing that's called democracy. So he didn't know he didn't know how he's supposed to deal with this. So he says, no Erev is any good anymore. Once you have democracy, so the king doesn't have the right, there's no king. And it's a government representing the people, for the people, of the people, by the people, whatever. So there's no Moshel here. It's Nishkin Balabas. He has no right to declare war. He's not wartime, he can't station troops in my home. So he claims that there's no longer any Moshel here. That's the end of all the Eruvim. So you should have said this the first day. There's nothing to discuss. Okay, never make an error. There's nothing to discuss. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is Michael. He says, Adarabi. Rabbi Moshe says, since the government is appointed by the people, for the people, of the people, so they're more svara that they represent us. So therefore, we can rent from the mayor of the city with the chief of police, because these are all representing all of the people. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Shuvas Ramban that when you rent from the Moshe Ha'ir, from the government, It should be a rental that the people shouldn't be angry about. So you shouldn't rent for 99 years. Some people, they have a 99-year lease. They have hanging in the shul that the rabbi gave $1 to the chief of police or the mayor, and the mayor rented them for the next 100 years. He rented them the right to use the city. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tshuvas Ramban, it's a better idea to have a shorter period of time. You should have 5 years, 10 years. You shouldn't have more than 20 years. You shouldn't have more than 20 years. Because they keep on changing the mayor and the city, and the king also keeps on changing. So it's not right to rent for such a long period of time. The next king may not be happy what the previous king did. So you should really rent for a shorter period of time. In Europe, whenever they would rent from the king, and then the king would either be killed or the king would pass away, then they would appoint a new king, so then they would rush to rent from the new king. Yifei Naim on Erevin has a hakdomah to his Yifei Naim, to his Marmakams, and he writes a whole story that the king died on Thursday and they appointed a new king and he rushed quickly to rent from the new king. That's because when you have such a government like a king, so the new government is not a hemshech of the old government. So you have to rent all over again. The old Tzchir Lakita is no good. The shad is if you have a democracy, so the pashtus is that the new government is a hemshech of the old government, and the third government, and the fourth government, every government is going to be a hemshech of the one before. So the pashtus is that once you rent it from the mayor or the chief of police, even if they get a new mayor, they get a new chief of police, pashtus is that it will still be good. The Gemara only talks about renting from Schir Lakita representing the non-Jewish Haman Baristik, the non-Jew who doesn't want to rent to us, so it's a pain in the neck to go knock on everybody's door, so we rent from the chief of police or from the mayor of the area, is representing all the non-Jews. The Shaila is, does it work? What if you have Mechal Alei Shabbos? If the person is Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesi, so the Erev is irrelevant as far as he's concerned. Bein Kovako he's going to carry, with the Erev, without the Erev. So since it's irrelevant, so the Erev doesn't help for those who are Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesi. If a guy's Mechal Shabbos B'Tzina but not B'Farhesi, so he's not so Orthodox, but at least the Erev is relevant for him. Now that's an Erev, he'll carry in public. If there wouldn't have been an Erev, he would carry in his pocket. He would carry the money in his pocket. And now that there is an Erev, he'll carry things in his hand. He'll carry his talis, because everybody, no one's going to call him a shekitz. But if you have Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesia, the Erev is neither here nor there. Doesn't change anything as far as he's concerned. So the Erev is not, the Bax HaMatzah doesn't help for the Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesia. So the Achronim HaMekel, they say that if Schira Lakita, if you can rent from the Moshe Hoyer as representing the non-Jews, they think who had the Nami, you can rent from the Moshe Hoyer as representing the Mechal Shabbos as well.
At the end of the day, so it's better for him that he's doing one less malacha.
Yeah, after we're going to make the Erev, there will be one less malacha for him. After we make the Erev, everything is included. But the Erev, the Baksa Matzah doesn't help for him because as far as he's concerned, if he's Shitasa, it's irrelevant. He, Ben Kovako, is going to carry. So that's what the Mishnah says. And Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesia, the Erev doesn't mean anything. So the Erev B'Chatzeris is the Baksa Matzah, that doesn't help, but we have to rent his apartment. So either rent from him, you don't want to slap him in the face, they rent from the mayor as representing the non-Jews and the Mechal Shabbos. Now, after we make the whole Erev, then it's good for everybody. That even the Mechal Shabbos who will carry will not be in violation of Haitzot. The only shayla is, when you rent from the mayor or the chief of police, considering them as Schira Lakita, as if they represent all of the non-Jews, they represent the non-Jews, the Mechal Shabbos, with respect to what? With respect to the street area? With respect to the hallways in the building, or with respect to the inside of their apartments also. Let's say you rent from the super of the building as representing all of the tenants in the building. The super of the building doesn't have shaykhah. He's not asleep in maid and butler in my apartment. Super of the building is like Sri Lakita vis-a-vis the hallways. So let's say we have 100 apartments. I'm guessing. So let's say 50 are non-Jews, and 50 are Jews. So the 50 who are Jews, we have the Baksa Matzahs, Shomer Shabbos, so the Baksa Matzah helps out. For the 50 who are non-Jews, so if he rents from the super, is representing them as if he's their Shaliach. So he's their Shaliach as far as the hallways is concerned, not as far as inside of their apartments. The super has no access to the inside of the apartment. He doesn't have keys to the people's apartments. Has no right to use it. The super is in charge of cleaning all the halls. So the super is Chira Lakita vis-a-vis the hall. So even after you make the Erev, the Pashtus is you can only carry from the hallway into the apartments of the Shomer Shabbos, but you can't carry from the hallway into the apartment of the non-Jews on the Mechal Shabbos, because the Schira Lakito power that the super has is only for the hallways, not for the inside of the apartment. So that's the question. Let's say you rent from the chief of police, you rent from the mayor who's representing all the non-Jews in the city. The mayor and the chief of police represents them with respect to what? I would have said with respect to the Drisus HaRegel in the street. Now with respect to the hallways in the buildings, the chief of police has no shaykhis with the hallways. The police with the mayor, they can reroute the traffic in the streets. But they're not balabatim on the inside of the apartment unless something major comes up. So the pashtus is, even if you have your rent, you have an area of chatzeris and you rented from the Moshel Ha'ir, but still you want to carry from your apartment into the hallways, into the streets, I thought they still have to make an area of chatzeris. Each one has to make an area of chatzeris in his own building. You have to rent from the super. Some people make a mistake, they think they're going to rent from the landlord. The Beis Yosef quotes this, you can rent from the landlord if you have a landlord who has an empty apartment building and he didn't rent anything out yet, so one Jew plans to move into the building, so let him give a dollar or a nickel or whatever to the landlord and say, I want to rent the whole building for religious purposes for the next 50 years. I plan to live there maybe maximum 50 years. So the Beis Yosef says, that solves the whole problem. I rented the whole building with respect to Shabbos purposes. But if the landlord already rent out all the apartments, so it doesn't help to go to the landlord. He's not the balabas. The people who are there are the 100 tenants who live there now. So you have to go to all the tenants. So the super can represent the tenants. We consider the super like Schira Lakita. But the going to the landlord, that's only the Beis Yosef who's talking if he has an empty apartment building that he didn't rent out yet. Yeah?
Well, in the way the laws work, if the person will ever have the right to go into your apartment,
I don't think so. The Mishnah Brura and the Bir Aloch, as well as the Chazanish, they both write that this kula of Sira Lakita only works if he's a sleeping maiden butler, that he always has access. He always uses all the rooms in the apartment. He always cleans all the rooms and so on. But if it's once a year, if there's a fire or if there's a leak or something, so then he has access. So then it's not called Sira Lakita for the inside. I don't think so.
In the fact of the landlord has appliances like a stove and a refrigerator that doesn't impact things, that those are in the apartment.
That's called Tfisas Yad. So there is a mission in the end of the Erevin that if I have, let's say, a home, and I leave, and I rent out, I live in one apartment, I rent out the other two apartments, and we all share the hallway together, the backyard, the front yard, whatever, we all share certain areas together. So if I leave heavy furniture in everybody's apartments, I still have a shaychus. I didn't rent out completely the whole apartment. I still reserve the right to use your apartment, the other two, three apartments in the building, for my purposes, because I leave big, heavy trunks there with all kinds of junk there. I leave my old stuff there. So that's a din of tfisas yad. Since one person has tfisas yad in all the apartments, so there's no need for an erev chatzeres. Basically, they're all guests by the balabas. So this was a big machloikis in the last century. What if the landlord, by contract, is obligated to provide the tenants with a refrigerator and with a stove? So it's not that the landlord retains the use of the apartments. I have a right to leave a refrigerator. I don't have a right to leave. I'm obligated to provide you with a refrigerator and a stove. If you don't like it, you can tell me to take it out. You don't have to use my apartment. You don't have to use my refrigerator and stove. So Ramosha was makel on that. He thought that it doesn't make a difference. And Ramosha was also makel, even though the landlord doesn't live there. He lives in Texas. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't live here. Still, if every apartment has some heavy piece of furniture, so it's tfisas yad. And others were not happy about that. The Dvar Avram has a tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik was related to the Dvar Avram, and he was kofuk to the Dvar Avram. So he thought that Rav Moshe's heta was questionable. Dvar Avram thinks that it's no good.
So the same issue is exactly the same, I assume, for furnished rentals.
Furnished is fully furnished. Fully furnished.
So that means that the furniture belongs to the landlord. They're
just using. Rav Moshe is certainly make up. Rav Moshe is certainly make up. The question is that those who are machmer, would they be machmer? I think they are machmer. Yeah. I think the Dvar Avram is machmer on a hotel. I think so. So let's say.
But then, if you live in a town with an apartment building, you can't walk into the non-Jew's house or his backyard. So doesn't every town become Asa because they put some Uncle Asa mother?
It's going to be a problem. So I thought every building has to make an Erev, and then you have to make sure that everything is covered with an Erev.
But that's a building where it's backyard, but the mayor is not restricted enough in his backyard either.
I thought that not. And if the backyard doesn't have a fence, then the whole area is going to be Nifretz Lamakam Asa, so you can't carry anywhere. I thought it would be a problem.
So I heard once that this all goes for condos, but a co-op, when you live in a co-op, you basically co-own the entire building. including the...
It really doesn't matter who owns it. It matters who lives there. If you have... If we're away for Shabbos, Shem Shabbos is away for Shabbos, he's not going to come back. He's not going to be Chal Shabbos. So he does Nasa. Let's say there's a building where you have two families. One family is away for Shabbos. So the other family is allowed to carry with that in there. If it's a non-Jew, so he may come back in Shabbos, unless he went to the North Pole, unless he went to South Africa. He simply can't come back in the middle of Shabbos. So if he's not here, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. He's not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos, then he doesn't us. So it really doesn't matter who owns it, it matters who lives there, even in the co-op. If you have each apartment is inhabited by a different family, so the Mishnah say that they us around each other.
Correct. The apartment, but the public areas, let's say I live in a co-op, so I partially own the public areas. I have a certain percentage of ownership.
Yeah, I don't think it makes a difference. I think since you have different people live in the different apartments, and they all share together the use of the common area, so you have this takana shel ha-melech, but you got to have right, you have to have the area ha-tzeres. That's the pashtus right there. Okay. Look, we left out a lot. I guess the rest you'll pick up on your own. We got to run to Dan Mincha. Okay. Good.